trying to test its lights. Oh, sorry.
It's all right, mate. It's okay. We can start again. It's not a problem.
All right.
I'll edit. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, happy new year to every one of you who's listening, both of you anyway, because we had a great time. I worked, and this is the first time back all together doing the party that we all love doing on a Friday and talking the crap about Apple. Starting us off, top left, it's the man who's not very well, Adam.
Oh, I'm all right. Yeah, I'm all right. Okay. Just trying to wake up, mostly.
Oh, okay.
And shake off the drugs.
Good Christmas?
Yeah, we had a really nice Christmas. We always do. You know, it's good. We don't go anywhere. We don't do anything. We hang out with the family, play a lot of board games, eat too much food, that sort of thing.
Good. Your family is still young enough to be at home, though, aren't they? So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're all here. All hanging out. It's good.
Did you get your AirPods?
I did. Do you want me to go into that story now, or was...
Yeah, go on. Let's have it. What happened? Okay.
So, well, so, you know, I, like many people, had ordered mine. They were supposed to arrive very late on January 12th. And so I had been frantically checking the Apple Store. Well, you guys know, because I missed even a Mac Show to try and camp out. And
we do
get
know,
a
yes.
Pair of these, because I really, I wanted to be able to, you know, talk about them for, I was getting a lot of questions from MacCast listeners and already. And wanted to be able to talk about them firsthand for people before it was kind of, we're done with them. Everybody's already talked about them already. So I had been monitoring and had finally almost sort of given up. And I was just casually checking the Apple stores around the area around 3 o'clock one night. And unfortunately, I was also chatting with Sebastian Page from my download blog about some other thing on Twitter, like DMing, and a pair shows up, but they're in Palm Desert, which if anybody who knows San Diego, that's about 2 hours east of here through the mountains.
At night? Like,
huh?
At night.
Well, it's getting to be night, and it's starting to storm. And I didn't really think about the storm too much, or I didn't remember the drive too much. And, of course, Sebastian's like going, do it, drive out there, get him. And I'm the type of person who falls prey to that sort of peer pressure. So, and I really wanted to get my hands on him. And I saw it as sort of my one opportunity to pick him up right before Christmas. So this was the Friday before Christmas. So what's that, the 23rd? Maybe the 22nd. I don't know. Anyway, so I pull the trigger on the order and I'm like, oh crap, I got to drive out there. And it's 4 o'clock and I think they were closing at, I want to say at 7. So I like had to get right in the car and drive out there. So I'm driving and everything's going fine. I'm kind of rocking out some music and then I start winding up into the hills. And then I start seeing, you know, the icy road signs and I realize, oh yeah, you know, out here in the desert, in the winter, it does get really cold and it can snow. And especially at this elevation, if the roads can get icy and the rain's starting to come down harder. And I'm like, what happens if I actually get stuck out here and like can't get back? I didn't think about that too. I'm going down these windy, like, you know, cliffs. And so I'm starting to kind of freak out and get worried, but I made it out there. Okay. They had them. It was actually the last pair. It was funny when I got there, I talked to the guy and he goes, you know, this is the last pair in the store. We logged these in at 3 o'clock and they were sold out in, you know, like 20 minutes.
Wow.
So, you know, it was total luck of the draw that I got them. And then to make a look to the best part of the story is I get back and the very next day, guess what? Shipping order.
You'll show up.
Your AirPods will be there on the 28th.
You risk death for Apple and you deffed out your mates for a Christmas show.
Yep. Sorry.
But you wouldn't Live have learn, a story
that's,
to tell
that's,
if it.
That's
if
the lesson. That so I have two pairs. Oh, well. But the good news is the second pair I'm giving away.
I'll have them.
Nice.
On the Mac.
Me too.
I haven't got any.
Well, listen to the next three Maccasts. I'm giving code words. I'll share the code word. Just be nice, the first code word, don't tell the MacCast people, with everybody here on British Tech, it's Mr. T.
Code words, Mr. T.
I pity the fool.
And what are the other two?
I hate flying.
You might be able to guess them because I'm gonna use code names for some of the Macs that I've owned over the years. So Mr. T is actually a code name for a Mac. If you know your Mac history, you would know which one. Otherwise, you can look it up.
20th anniversary Mac.
So put them on eBay and make a grand off them. That's what I say.
anyway,
next to him,
that's the story. Well, sorry, kind of a long story.
That's all right. Next to him, Doc Rock. How's it going, brother?
Hey, thanks, Adam, for the long story. Give me a chance to take a leak.
Are you wearing earrings there, Doc?
No, actually, couldn't wait like Adam. And I was listening to Adam on his show, and he said he got it, and I was so mad. I still didn't get mine, so I kept banging away on iStock Now like every 30 minutes. I had a little Apple script that would just reload the page on my computer. And then finally, one night, I was up just, you know, cleaning out the old email box, preparing the calendar for the new year. And the thing popped up, and it showed some in Hawaii. Naturally, the stores were closed at this moment, but I did an order to pick up in store. And I texted my buddy Jerome, who was hanging out at Patricia's house. And I said, hey, you better order yours right this instant because I can pick them up tomorrow. And I was able to go in and pick up two. But yeah, they're literally here in the three stores. They're getting them an average of like 8 to 10 at a time. And by 8 to 10, I mean 4 pairs or 5 pairs. Like literally, I was counting them 2 at a time. It's been a nightmare. For some reason, though, East Coast and Canada got plenty. Every time you look at iStock, there's a green dot somewhere in Toronto. So I was thinking of having somebody there get them and send them to me, but I got lucky. But other than that, all is good, other than fighting a horrible cold.
Well, I sat and hovered over them on the ones when it said it was delivered on the 19th of December, and I can't be bothered. I took him off.
We'll get into it more on the show, but yeah, I'll remind me to get back to that when we get to the show.
Next to him, someone in a country that won't see an AirPod for probably the next 5 years. Can't
say no. We got him. We got the cord edition.
Oh. Good to have you back, mate. You're coming on more regularly now.
I'm going to try.
Founding member of the Mac Show.
Schedule pending, but yeah.
Good man. We've had some reviews for you, mate.
For me?
Yeah, for the new show.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's nice. I need to start. I think I need to extend it maybe for like 8 minutes so I could actually do those.
Yeah, no, you've had a cozy up in the tech top 200 podcasts, and you're nestling in there on a regular basis now. Ian's put in, tech news shouldn't be this much fun. Tech news to the point and easily digestible in 5 minutes with Carl with a quirky take. A light-hearted but to the point take on the daily news. Well done, BTN, another great podcast. And TJCS63 has put, he's from Canada, said, this is the first podcast of the day for me. A quick overview of the important tech stories of the day. Carl does a great job of finding and presenting the important news of the day. The Santa segments during the run-up to Christmas are the icing on the cake, which we didn't do this year really so much.
No, I was going to say, though, we only got to hold that fat bastard towards the end.
I need to pay the grumpy old bastard once in a while. love BTN. Keep up the great work, gang. There you go, mate.
Oh, sweet. Wow. Thanks for the review. I, as always, say thanks. I mean, that's why I do it every day, you know, or Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. Thursday, still hell.
We'll no, it's all right. If you can't do it Thursday, you can't do it Thursday.
It's what
it
is. All positive for Kyle.
It's what it is. Yeah, you don't get any negatives. The only negatives we ever got on the news show was when I was doing it. Same as all the other shows, really. Everyone gets positives. Across the board.
I'm one star. I'm sure I'm going to say something one day that's going to piss somebody off that's, you know, a fan of Mariah Carey or something. They'll be coming. Nah, you watch.
Mariah Carey's don't listen to this show. God. And last but by no means least, our resident drunk German. I've just had a picture of you being drunk.
That rarely ever happens.
Unfortunately, it's not a very good picture because it was taken by another drunk German, apparently.
Yep. Yes, it was.
So, how you been, Patrice?
Great. I mean, I'm freaking tired. Jerry was here for...
She's been drinking.
Yeah, we did some drinking, a lot of eating. And a lot of driving as well. So it was a great time. I'm already missing him.
Was the alcohol out of your system before you drove, of course?
Yeah. Of course. No, I actually didn't drink that much, to be honest. Just a lot of eating.
You normally ask people, when they, do you have a great Christmas? And then there's no point in asking you, is there? Because A, yes, you did, and B, you don't remember.
Yes. I actually do.
No.
It was great.
Awesome. The year in Apple.
The whole year. We're going to cover the whole year on the
all 7 days of the month. Of it?
Awesome.
No. I thought we could do a bit of like what's going to happen in with Apple in 2017. Oh. So have a, get your thinking caps on. Right at the end, we'll do tell me three things.
I'm going to sell my stock.
Yeah.
I'm going to sell my stock.
Yeah. Well, you get a chance next week because it's the old what's it show, isn't it? The board show, board thing meeting.
Yeah,
28th of February of the month.
Hopefully they'll hell of a lot more Macs.
It's the annual shareholders meeting. We'll have a think about three things. I want you to tell me three things that are definitely going to happen with Apple for the end of the year. But let's start off with the bad news. Tim's only going to make $8.7 million in 2016 because Apple missed all its performance targets. I told you it was shit, but no one believes me. Everyone goes, oh, no. It's just demand is unprecedented, my ass.
Poor old Timmy boy.
Yeah. Tim's only making $8.7 million. Luca Mestri.
I can't put in that pool now. Shit.
$22.8 million. Angela Arendt's $22.9 million.
Jeez.
And she's the architect of it all. Eddie Q $22.8 million. Dan Riccio $22.8 million. And Bruce
Eddie
Sewell
should be getting a bonus.
For that belly, for his belly.
The legal counsel Bruce Sewell gets 22.8 as well. Why does Tim take this?
You know what? What I think is so great about the story, and it's probably going to go amiss by all of the people barking about his targets, is Tim Cook and the Apple. Well, Steve started it, but Tim Cook and the Apple executives are some of the few companies in the United States where the CEOs only make money based off the performance of the stock versus guys who are making 40-50 million running crappy companies into the ground, but their corporate greed is like killing the pricing of things around, you know, the country. So pharmaceuticals, for instance, medical supplies and things like that, for instance, even AT&T at one point, you know, little Randolph you there was making way too much money for a company that was basically shite, to coin a British phrase. And so I don't mind seeing Tim only make this much because at least he's going off the performance of the job that he's doing and not, you know, raising the prices on, say, a calling plan and paying yourself $44 million, but I can't actually make said calls. So I actually like this.
Well, they're
I'm
only
glad that it comes out.
No, he makes less anyway, though, don't they? Because they're only 3% off the gross earnings target.
It
wasn't massive.
But so, I'm just saying, as a CEO of quote-unquote the richest company in the planet, for him to only be pulling home $8 million is beautiful in comparison to some of his contemporaries who make five times as much to basically run shite companies.
Hmm. Yeah, that just says to me that earnings targets were really pretty high, I would think. I mean, it's not like they had, from an earnings perspective, that bad a year.
Well, they got told, the forecasts are always usually pessimistic, aren't they, from Apple? So the fact that they haven't made the pessimistic targets a problem.
Yeah. Interesting.
It is. But
yeah, somebody else had a comment, like, I think.
It sounds so enthused.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, so if you go on the back of all of the information that's coming in around that, so iPhone 7, there was an awful lot of people stayed with Samsung because they felt that there was a lack of compelling features that were convincing them to move to iPhone in the 7.
According to whom?
There's a survey. The Wall Street Journal did a survey.
Right.
our country loves surveys.
Sorry, I pulled that out of my ass. But.
No. It's just this thing. Like I have this feeling like Android people are Android people, and even something like the whole Galaxy Fire thing, they're still Android people. Like I don't know that, because some people are calling and saying, well, Apple didn't jump on that quick enough, or they didn't capitalize on it quick enough, and I just don't know that I buy that. I don't know that there's much they could have done to sort of. They got some people naturally, but I don't think they could have done some huge marketing campaign and suddenly swung, millions of Android-loving folks over to iPhones.
Yeah.
I mean, they saw, they did see a tick up, but, you know, the idea that, oh my God, this is the hugest missed opportunity for Apple is kind of crazy, in my opinion. Mm. That's all.
Yeah, okay. All right. I mean, I think to be fair, though, as well, the upgrades in the 7 were relatively disappointing compared to the upgrades from 5 to 6.
Oh, I'm not doubting that either, but I'm just saying they're so separate things.
The comment about it not being compelling is fair.
Well, no, see, here's the funny thing about that comment. If, for the exact opposite reason, the phone had the exact same features, but just say the phone sold 15% more than it did last year, that exact same sentence would be, from that exact same source, would be, this phone is selling 15% more than anybody else because the features were so compelling. Like, they'd literally write to match whatever they want the story to be, and it's kind of irritating about just the way sort of tech is covered from all the companies. Like, it's kind of irritating. And the surveys, what drives me nuts is half the time when you read the surveys, especially some of the, what do you call those guys? Ming-Chi Kuo and those analysts, those guys, they'll do a survey of 100 people, and somehow that's a good spattering of the damn near 700 million people that happen to have a current model iPhone, you know? And I was like, yo, 100 is not enough. If you did 1,000, maybe 2,000 people, I might buy your data. But when you're only sending an intern out to talk to 100 people, that don't mean crap to me.
Mm-hmm. There's only one compelling feature that Apple could use to win over a large number of Android folks at this point, in my opinion, and it's a low price.
Free.
We saw it with the iPhone SE. The iPhone SE did so well because I think that was a lot of people who, and we're not talking about Android fanboys, and that's kind of my point on this, is like Android fanboys are Android fanboys till the end, just like Apple fanboys are Apple fanboys until mm-hmm. the end. And you're not going to sway those people. There's not a feature you could throw in there that's going to sway those people. So the people you're talking about are the people who are just out buying phones. And a lot of those people who are on Androids are just buying the cheapest thing that they can get their hands on. And that's fine because, you know, there's still good devices and that's the thing. So I just don't see it as a feature race for Apple. And I don't think they think that way. And I think for very good reason.
Yeah. And well, Adam, there's,
I just bought an Android and that same thing.
Right. Come on, Patrice.
I mean, then there's the whole question of, I mean, what feature would you add to the iPhone at this point? I mean, what's missing?
It's not my Is comment.
It? Yeah, it's not. You're, no.
Don't shoot the messenger.
I don't think anybody is going after you, Ewan. We're all going after the story.
I'm just asking. What's missing? People seem to be complaining about the iPhone not being what they expect, but nobody can tell me what they actually want.
Yeah, but that's the point, is that Apple tell you what you want to a certain degree in a lot of cases. So it's that not knowing what it is that you want thing, which does cause you a bit of a problem. So when you look at something, you expect them to tell you this is what you desperately need. A lack of a headphone jack isn't it. It's not going to make you go, oh, wow, I really need no headphone jack.
Right.
Well, that's the problem.
I was going to say they are saying what they want. It's headphone jacks and wireless charging and...
Yeah. Apple didn't fulfill that this year. I think,
you know, lower price point, I think, is one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they're in such a crappy situation because they brought out wireless charging, and let's just say it sucks as much as it actually does on the Samsung and other type phones. You would hear about it. Right now, you don't hear about how bad it sucks because I, again, chewing my own survey story, I know of at least 20 people that have them, and they all hate them. It's easier to plug it in.
I loathe wireless charging.
Yeah.
I'll
just do my bit then. I loathe wireless charging. The reason I loathe wireless charging is because you don't have a cable. You have a pad of some description or some dongle or something which is not ubiquitous, and you've got four or five of them to carry around with you. And if you get one, you're knackered. So this week, I went away... And I've got no end of small lightning cables around the place, and my bag happened to have one in it. I forgot to take all of my charging stuff for my phone and my watch. The watch doesn't matter anymore now. But shut up. So, so the thing was, you know, me, the, the, I could, I could go into my bag and I found a lightning cable because cables are cheap. But I wasn't going to go out and spend 40 quid on a new charging station for me watch just so I could charge it for the week that I was away. It was just like, okay, it'll last a little last and then I'll take it off and I'll see if I can do without it. And I haven't missed it, I have to say, which is why now it's been stolen. And thanks to whoever it was that stole it, you bastard. But
oh, no.
I don't want wireless charging for my phone because I don't want to have to carry a pad around and then the pad's going to cost me 60 quid to buy when I forget it when I'm away on the road. I don't want it. Mm. I just want a cable. Well, yeah. Don't do it.
If you talk to normal people about their phones or even their iPhones, they don't talk about charging. They don't care. I mean, if you ask them about the wireless charging, they don't care. I mean, they have no issues with plugging the thing in every couple of days. What they care about is, does it do what I want? Can I take pictures? Can I send a text message? I don't know. Can I play games? That's about it. So most people don't care, I think. And that's why I asked.
The question was, what compelling features are people calling for? And the answer is, I mean, that's one of those things that people are out there screaming is,
yeah, but it's not the normal people who are screaming.
But the reality is why do you think Apple's considering and looking at wireless charging now? It's the same reason why they tried to hold out on, we're not going to do a large screen phone, and eventually gave in on that too, because as the market slows, they've got to start to be more sensitive to what consumers are asking for. In the early stages, they can sort of dictate, these are the features you want, but as a product is mature, and we saw this with the iPod as well. I mean, you can go back and look at any one of Apple's huge successful products that went through this cycle, and as you reach the end, they start adding features. And yes, those, you know, when the features finally get here, the market responds to them, but are they quote unquote compelling? No. And I'm with you, Patrice. You know, I don't know that there is a compelling feature, quote unquote, that anyone could point to and say, oh wow, that's, you know, beyond the phone not being a phone.
Let Carl have a go, because he hasn't had a go yet.
Well, no, all I'm going to say is that as far as wireless charging goes, I want it to be truly wireless. Don't give me a little thing to sit down on it. Don't give me a little, you know, give me a little thing and give me another little thing. Call it good. Eliminate the cable. Give me the socket, whatever the hell it is. That to me is true wireless charging. That's something to set it on. If there's one feature, though, I would love to see on the iPhone, though, and because we're so power hungry these days, and it's either better battery life, which I don't think we're going to see anytime soon until we, you know, for any company, or the ability to have fast charging. Because that is something I think that's really missing from the new iPhone, something that charges it quick. And because I can't tell you countless times how I've had my phone and I forgot to charge it. And I need just a quick charge, at least to just get me through an hour or something. And to me, that is one feature I'd love to see, because we're constantly on the things. And Go ahead.
I was just going to say 2017 is going to be the year for you, because Apple's bringing reportedly both of those things to the iPhone this year. Fast, rapid charging.
I'm sure they are. And we're talking about things that are lacking in the 7. Charging.
I think the thing when it comes to what's compelling is,
we're at a point where we're chasing sort of weird and sort of pie in the sky things. There's a couple that are out there, like Kyle just mentioned, that are really tangible and would be really important. But a lot of them are just things to sort of help move the bumper along for the people that are sort of already satiated with their phones. But, you know, the thing that comes up every time, and it must be somewhat of a trip inside these meetings as to what they're going to decide to do. You know, similar to what Patrice was saying, everybody was like, well, I'm going to do so-and-so because I want, you know, all these jobs to come back in America. I go, okay, so someone committed 10 million jobs that were to pick up trash. Would you take one of them? And they're like, no. And I'm like, then don't be generic in your statement about I just want more jobs, because truth is, I could generate jobs right now. Climb your ass in the river and pull out the trash, and they'll pay you for it, and nobody will take it. What people really want is high-paying, cushy jobs, and those kind of don't exist.
I think that, you go back to the compelling question, I think compelling is when Apple say that this feature is here in the phone and people go, wow, and they drop the phone that they've got in their hands and want to go over and get it. And there's a point from Smock in the chat room here, which is good. And he says, I need to upgrade my phone, but I'm happy to stay with the one that I've currently got. And I'm because of the fact that there is no feature full set, there is no compelling reason to change. And I think Apple have lost because traditionally you had the people that were bang on the bandwagon of like, I'm a 7 or I'm an S cycle. And the people that were on the S cycle were never the real hardcore fanboys. They were the ones that were on the number cycle. And I don't think a lot of those have upgraded. I think they've gone to the point of like, well, I actually like having an earphone jack, so I'm afraid I'm not going to go to this one because the only things I can see in this aren't things that make me want to drop this phone and pick up the next one. They're actually things that make me want to hold on to the phone that I've currently got.
The only compelling feature that's coming for the iPhone is the not an iPhone. I'm telling you, Apple is done with the iPhone. We're going to be par for the course for the next 5 years with just, you know, feature enhancements and minor things. It's at that stage. Again, if you go back and look at the iPod cycle, the iPhone eventually replaced the iPod, and we're on the cycle of where we're moving toward the thing that's going to replace the iPhone.
Yeah.
That's a very good statement.
I would agree with that, actually.
Go on, Carl. You had your own.
I don't know what it is.
I was going to say full. I mean, we're sitting here talking about the iPhone and, you know, and what we don't like it or what about it, would we have got it or not. Full disclaimer for me, I got the new iPhone 7 free because they have a tie-up here with the NBA. As everybody knows, they do stuff here with the NBA. So the carrier here with the NBA gave us a free phone. Thank you very much. Had I not had that option, I wouldn't have got the new phone. I was perfectly fine on my 6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there wasn't, and you keep hearing all these rumors about next year, which is now this year, it's going to be the major upgrade. But you have, you talk about the fanboys that always go with the numbers. What does that do to your fan base then at the same time? To me, it all goes back to what we talked about on this show numerous times. Apple has become the corporate company. It's not the fanboy beta testing, you know, hobby thing anymore. It's about, at the end of the day, it's about let's make a product that people will just buy up like it's candy every year. And I think people have just gotten to that point right now where it's like, I don't really, my phone does everything I need it to do. I could even go out right now and spend $200 on a phone that did maybe a little bit more than the iPhone does. In our local market here, I'm talking about cheap Android phones. It's either about that because you're devoted to Apple or you're in the ecosystem and that's the way it is, or you're on the other hand where it's still cool to have an iPhone. It's still cool to be kind of part of that class. But I think that class is shrinking, that, oh, I'm in the cool class. It's not the same as it was 5 years ago.
I don't think it has anything to do with Apple being a big company. It's like Adam said, it's basically just a cycle of a product. I mean, there's the early days where everything is kind of sort of not really working and a lot of features are missing. And then there is the phase where it's really cool and you can add a lot of features and a lot of people think it's really great. And then, I mean, there's the end where, you have done what you can do with the product and that's about it. And then it slowly dies off over time. See the iPod, like Adam said.
Those things in Don or Doc's ear, if I can get this right and say the statement, that's your iPhone in 5-10 years. And you've got some sort of heads up display via a contact or some glasses or something. And, you know, that's not an iPhone. That's the compelling thing that everybody's going to be rushing to buy.
I think that's a bit.
You know, Adam,
give it a couple of years.
Let the chat room have this. Hang on, Doc. Hang on. iPages are the next big thing, says Deepan. Deepan also says, I wouldn't go wireless charging. It thickens up the phone, and it's not going to happen on Johnny's shift. Bob Beach says there's bound to be a diminishing return. Deepan says also, Apple is now big, has shareholders to look after, so we'll play it safe now rather than when they first launched the iPhone. I think there is a point of I think Steve Jobs was a braver man in terms of telling the shareholders to go screw themselves. The iPhone are normally a 2-year cycle and therefore have to keep it with dozens of other phones for manufacturers, surely. But they're not on a 2-year cycle at the moment. They're still in the third year of the same cycle, I think, to a certain degree, is the point.
There is no cycle anymore. That's what I'm trying to say, is don't be looking for a cycle because it's not there. The market's not demanding it and it doesn't need it, just for all the reasons we just all talked about. I mean, people are going to buy phones now when they're ready. And again, you can look, think about the time when you stopped buying a new iPod, and you know, every year or every couple of years, and that's where we're at with the iPhone.
Well, I mean, another thing that I was going to point out too, which you have to look at the picture as, think of Apple and pretty much any other company as a Datsun, right? So we always hear and we always worry about this end, which is the barky bit, which would be the fanboys, the new fan chasers, and all that other end. At the other end is the people that are still on the iPhone 4 and 5, basically the doo-doo end. And there are a lot of noise because people say, oh, they're not changing, or I'm not switching because there's no headphone, or I like my old phone, I don't need a new phone. That whole fat, fluffy bit in the middle basically gets ignored, and that's really where a large section of their user base is, a large section of their money base is. But that's not good for stories. That's not good for even shows like us. So even for us, we have a tendency to talk about the barky end and the shit end, but we don't really talk about the fat, fluffy part in the middle. And that's what really is holding the company together.
Okay, so here's
Doc, I know I need to lose weight. It was a long Christmas. So just stop, leave my damn flat, fluffy part out of them. Just leave it out, all right?
So here's an interesting stat then. So the current uptake on iOS 10 is now at 75%, 76%. So that's down on the uptake for 9.
Sure.
A couple of months in, the uptake for 9 was well into the 80s.
So, because you have a large portion of people, just like we talked about, who can't upgrade because they're not upgrading their phone.
Thank you. There's my point.
Yeah, sure.
So that verifies what I just said.
Well,
that's the doo-doo end.
Yeah.
And the doo-doo end is getting bigger.
Yes, it is.
Most
that's
definitely.
A long pile of shit now.
Well, and no one even talked about in an election year where things are scary going on, people have a tendency to hold on to their money. Trust me, our real estate business kind of ate it towards the end as our orange man got louder. Like, investors are like, let me hold for a minute and see what happens. And then now we know what happens. None of those are like, okay, let's pull the trigger on this, you know, this house that we were going to buy. So like in a couple of my businesses, I can literally see what's going on. And this does happen in election year. But again, tech people don't even mention that kind of stuff. People have a tendency to be a little more frugal when they don't know what's going to happen with taxes and, you know, economy and whatnot.
I think the other thing you've got to watch out for, and this is a direct poke at Arendt's, is the fact that they're trying to focus on this idea of being a fashion brand, of being the Porsche of tech, if you like, or something like that. And you've got to bear in mind that that's actually quite a fickle market. You know, it's easy enough to drop yourself out of favor there if you're not careful. Yep. And there's a few of the executives have been pointing out that Apple is getting a bit sloppy in the way that it's dealing things. And it's focusing on the figures. And when you look at the figures are everything's okay. But it's saying stuff like, and there was a quote from a guy back when I was running most of Apple's email for the marketing teams. I went to them and suggested that we consider dumping the text-only part of the emails that we were building because only about 4% of users used them. And they said, no, we need to keep that because it's a strategic move. And he said it was correct. It was the right strategic move because that was the people who were the core of the business who would always buy our stuff, and we didn't want to leave them behind. So why are they now doing that with a lot of the other stuff? They're pandering to the fickle market who will walk away once there is a new Apple on the street, whereas those people that were there, that core business who were always there at the start, won't be walking away.
Well, I mean, it's tough to say. I mean, maybe there is another core group that we don't see because we are part of the old core group. Yes, it hurts sometimes to be abandoned. But there are other people. So, yeah, I mean, you're right about the point that the fickle people will leave. But maybe there's another core group that Apple is targeting that we're not seeing. The question is, who is that?
They're focusing on the big group that make the money for them at the moment because they're looking at the numbers, and the numbers are saying everything's fine and rosy. But that market will evaporate if there's another Apple round the corner. That's what I'm saying. You know, there's a certain element of keeping your core customers happy and also looking at the front end.
I don't even know. You know, what's interesting, Ewan, is there's a little bit of, I don't know if dichotomy is the right word in what you were saying, but, you know, this idea that I think Apple is not focusing enough on the products, I think, is a valid argument. It feels like they're moving more with the markets under the leadership of Tim Cook. And if anything's concerning, it's that, you know, and maybe this is all related, but, you know, I don't know. You know, I think if they can get back to focusing on the products, they never really looked at the numbers or even, I don't think, the marketing all that much. I guess Steve was a little more focused on the marketing and things like that, but, you know, I don't know. It's a new Apple. It's interesting to see where it's going. And, you know, you're right. When you look purely at the numbers, everything seems to look okay. And that seems to be where Apple wants to focus our attention. But I think, you know, getting back to what you were talking about earlier, you know, what do we need to see from Apple in 2017? I think this is good. This is what they do this year is going to be really, really telling, you know, just coming off of what they did last year, which was really not a lot. If you really go back and take a hard analysis, especially at the products.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
Services, there was a lot of stuff, and maybe that's where we're moving. I don't see that vision yet, if that's what's going on. And Apple historically hasn't had a good track record there. I think they're getting better at it, so maybe it's going to be okay. But yeah, 2017, I'm really looking to see what they do in 2017. And my number one hope is that it's a massive renewed focus on product.
Yeah. Well, Kaby Lake processors are out there. They got those this week. At CES on Tuesday, Intel formally announced the full line of 7th generation Intel Core processors known as Kaby Lake. Kaby Lake. Kaby? Mm-hmm. Kaby. I mean, these are allegedly what Apple have been screaming for and the reason that they couldn't have a bigger iPad, or reason mm-hmm. that they couldn't have a big MacBook Pro, which I think I disbelieve, but... I mean, these have come on pretty fast on the heels of a fairly underwhelming MacBook Pro. Wouldn't
they
be
knew this
to
was going to happen, yeah. though.
Yeah. Ewan, one thing, I mean, you talked about the fickle nature of, well, not the group that is not Apple's core customers. Don't underestimate how lazy people are. I see that on a daily basis in my job. People are not, I mean, we might be fast at switching to new technologies and adopting new things, but most people aren't. I mean, I see people that, I mean, they're living with horrible support and horrible products over decades sometimes, simply because that's what they know and that's how it is. And they don't want to change it. They don't change. So they will buy something new from the same product simply because it's what they know, even if it's shit.
And I think you're talking about an Android user most definitely there, but I think the numbers, the quantities, if you look at the percentage of Apple users that fall into that description, I think it's lower than the number of Android users who fall into that description.
No, it has nothing to do with whether it's low or high priced or quality or not.
No, I think there's genuinely a lower proportion of people who are lazy in the Apple firmament than there are in the Android firmament. Because you bought it in the first place because you were a lazy arse. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That could be, but I'm pretty sure that even within the Apple space, there are a lot of lazy people.
Well,
I don't know.
See,
it's
Kyle,
interesting. Can I throw something in here, Ewan, because I think it's relevant, because this comes up a lot when I get feedback and I hear from people who have switched either from Android to iPhone or even more so people who've moved from PCs to Macs. I get a lot of feedback from those people on my show, and what I almost always hear is somebody has a, you know, 5-year-old PC, got fed up with it, switched to the Mac, and now they're buying devices and new Macs like almost mm-hmm. every year. It's like crazy. It's almost like, you know, it's almost like Steve Jobs would have said they were in the desert and, you know, somebody just handed them a glass of water and they can't seem to like drink enough. I don't know how long that lasts for, but it's definitely an effect that I've seen. And they'll say, now my wife has one and my kids have iPhones and blah, blah, blah. And it's like this massive waterfall effect that happens.
I think Kyle mentioned it.
Adam,
Kyle mentioned it earlier on.
Effect, but she becomes a battle-axe the same amount of time as the last one did for most people.
Kyle mentioned earlier on about people who are aspirationally purchasing the Apple brand, And I think the fact that he said, oh, that's kind of leveling out now, means you've got to be careful, because the market is primed for another aspirational brand to come in and pull the rug out from under your feet. And that's the problem, is that there is a massive glut of people in there who aren't lazy. They are people who will buy the aspirational brand. And if it comes along, they are so fickle, they will walk away in a heartbeat. And then all of a sudden, your production and your forecasting that's there for a massive input sale on the next iPhone isn't being realized, and you're starting to make losses.
I'm not buying that they're putting a lot of bank on the iPhone anymore
like people think they are.
And it's not just the fickle people. That can happen even with the other people if they are really fed up, and it hurts enough that they, if something better comes around, are willing to switch. So that's the big risk. I mean, that you ignore everybody and simply milk the people as long as possible and think, yeah, everything's all right. And then all of a sudden something better comes around, and and people are suddenly leaving and you're left alone. So that is a risk, and that's a risk Apple is definitely running.
Yeah, and you know, right now the most prime company to do something like that more than likely is actually Microsoft. And the reason why I say that is they're doing a lot of internal changing. They're doing a lot of grassroots reaching out. Like, I get several emails a day from them from various fronts talking about new projects and stuff that they're working on, asking us for our feedback, making adjustments in accordingly. Like, even I looked at the new Xbox, which I just recently picked up, and like the whole situation is changing, and it's changing extremely rapidly. And I think that as they're getting over being what they used to be and trying to grow into who they want to be, Microsoft is actually primed and has the resources to do damage as soon as they pull the trigger. Right now, they're doing the smart thing and they're laying low, maybe pulling the rope-a-dope, or, you know, letting everybody else run crazy, and they're literally paying attention, which is very un-Microsoft-esque. And Ewan, you said this around about 3 years ago when you had your Nokia, what was it, Luminary, whatever the thing is called, 1020, 920.
Yeah,
Illuminati.
can we move back to the processors a little bit? Because Deep Pan put something in the chat room that I think is very relevant about Apple's reliance on Intel and how they were sort of burned this year by Intel and Intel's product release cycle. And this is, you know, we've been hearing about this for a long time, that Apple sort of needs to figure out or transition. I don't know if transitioning away from Intel is the right thing, because I think that's going to be difficult at this point. But, you know, is Apple going to put out soon a machine or a new machine that's based on their own processor designs, i.e. moving some of the iPhone processors or iOS processors onto some form or variant of a Mac product? I think that could happen this year, and one catalyst may be the fact that Intel is sort of changing its direction, and it's impacting Apple's ability to sort of deliver laptops on their cycle. And I only think this could happen again because it's in Apple's history. I mean, this is why we saw them move from basically the PowerPC to Intel in the first place. Yep. Is, you know, it just wasn't lining up with what they wanted to do with the business, and we could be getting to another point here this year where this is a factor as well. You know, whether or not they can pull it off, there's a lot of questions. And, you know, are people going to want ARM-based Macs? Is that crazy or not? It might not be, especially if it's coupled with the right GPU technologies.
I mean, the point is there at Intel being on borrowed time. I'm not sure that's the case, and I'm not sure how much Apple are really that bothered in going to the full hog on their own processor line.
Even if Apple isn't doing it, I still think Intel is on borrowed time, because Intel pretty much gave up on mobile. And as more and more is moving towards that goal, I'm not sure what will happen to Intel.
This MacBook Pro launch, I think, put a lot of, and I think it shocked Apple. I don't think they expected the kind of reaction that they got. I don't know why they didn't expect it. I think that was a little naive. But, you know, I think they really only put out the MacBook Pro that they did. And I do believe they put out the best machine that they could, but I think they only put out that machine because they had to get something out in 2016, or it was going to look really, really bad in terms of a Mac product, a new Mac product. But We're going to see them rev that. We're going to see them rev the thing, you know, with these new Intel processors. I think pretty soon they may try to hold off until June. I hope they don't. I hope they do it sooner because I think the market's going to sort of demand it, and they seem to be again more concerned about that. But you know, when that happens, it's not going to be good in the media again for them. They're going to have another cycle of people calling into question what they're doing, and I don't think they want a repeat of that. So I think they are going to be looking at hard at ways to avoid that kind of situation in the future.
Kyle, go.
Oh, I was going to say, I completely agree with that. I mean, to me, that sums up Apple in 2016. They pushed stuff out because they had to. Mm-hmm. They pushed an iPhone out because they had to. They pushed a MacBook Pro out because they had to. And what happened was a lot of people got kind of disappointed with it, or they just didn't simply think that it was worth buying. I mean,
or they didn't care. Yeah, they just,
I think, and we just didn't care. And to me, that's what worries me first, because I'm from the days of, I believed in Apple, and the glory days of Steve Jobs and all that, and I still feel this has something to do with leadership at that company. I'm not still convinced these many years later that Tim Cook is the right guy for the job.
Yeah, I don't think he is. I said that a year ago.
Yeah, you did. That's right. You did. And that's, to me, I think that's what we've talked about this. What are we going to see in 2017? I think we could see a change in leadership if we're going to have another 2016 repeat, because pushing products out for just the sake of pushing products out, well, that kind of reminds me of...
There's a cost to that.
Microsoft.
I think there's the other thing as well is that you talk about Microsoft. I still see Microsoft as a bit vaporware at the moment. There's a lot of stuff that they come out with, which is great. Thank you very much. Here's the future. Well, that's great. But all they've discovered is how to make good graphics rather than how to make good products, because I don't see some of those products making it out. I can't buy some of those products when they're announced. And the one thing that I do value in Apple is the fact that when they announce a product, I know that in a couple of weeks, I'll be able to back order it.
They have the ability to, like, I guess to culminate my statement, I mean, when Microsoft decides to get out of Microsoft's own way, they're probably the most dangerous. The good news is right now, they don't maybe know that they're the most dangerous.
I don't think they are the most dangerous still. I'm sorry, they're great with the concept video, but I haven't seen a lot that's followed through yet. Apple Store watches are going. Apple stores are going. So Selfridge's Apple Watch only store is going, and also the one in Galeries Lafayette is disappearing as well as.
It's like your watch.
My watch has disappeared completely. There's something wrong with Patrice's audio, I think. Something's wrong with that audio. There's something wrong with your audio. You've gone into... That's it. That's exactly what's happened to it. Take your hands away from your mouth, Patrice. I don't know why, but your audio's gone a bit stuttery, a bit weird. Don't know. Drop off and come back on, mate.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, it's back. No, it is. No, you're in there. Whatever you did, don't do it again.
Okay. I didn't do anything.
Good lad. Good okay. Tech support there. I told it. I only had to tell him to turn it off and back on again, and it worked.
Yay!
the Apple, the watch only stores are disappearing from Galeries Lafayette and Selfridges. Mm-hmm. I still don't see anybody looking at watches. If they want a watch, they buy it online. I think. I don't think that they buy them in store anymore.
There's nobody near those. When I go into the Apple store, there's nobody near those tables. And it's funny right now, what's going on is they've kind of, at least at my Apple stores, they've turned those stations into the tryout AirPod stations, which is really interesting. Have you seen how they're doing AirPod try-ons? They're like individually like sealed and wrapped, and then they kind of open them, and then I think they take them in the back and probably put them in a, what are those things called? An enclave, like you'd use it there. Not enclave.
An autoclave.
Autoclave. That's what I'm thinking. You know, like burn the.
I went into the Apple store. I wanted to look at some AirPods, and before I knew it, there was a new Pope.
And white smoke was coming
out. Yeah, it's pretty trippy. But at least in my Apple store, that's a lot of the Apple Watch stations are people trying on AirPods. Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that as well.
Right. I'll do the sponsors bit, and then we're going to come back to find out your predictions from Apple. Give me three hardened facts that they're going to come out with, things that are definitely going to happen. First sponsor, of course, UK2. Thank you very much to them for looking after us. They pick up all the bandwidth, all of the spaces on the servers. Over the Christmas period, while we were away, we had the NQL channel running for most of the time, so you could have watched old back shows and things like that. You should have seen Kyle coming up with the news show from all the stuff before Christmas. Without UK2, we couldn't do this show at all. We couldn't cope with the bandwidth, and we couldn't deal with the server space that we take up. So please, please, please support them. If you want anything for the web domain names, web hosting, VPS, VPN, all of that kind of stuff, co-location services, then please check them out, because they're brilliant to us, and we do need your support for them. And the other thing is, you've got to remember that this is the year of Uniku. Yes, Hoyer have got new glasses coming this year. They are the ones that are custom fitted to your face, milled from unicorn horns, and then presented to you. That's a lie, by the way. They're not milled from unicorn horns, but they are made specifically for your face. You go and get your face measured, and then they will be carved from a single block, or made actually on a printer, and then they will be made for you. They will fit your head and no one else's, because they're unique. There we go. There's a picture of them here, look. And it's after Christmas, and they said after Christmas I was going to get my face measured and I'm going to have a pair. I'm so excited. Uniku, check out Hoyer. If you want some of the great Avantek lenses that I've got here, then go to podcast@hoyer.co.uk. You can follow them on Twitter as well at Hoyer_UK. And please, 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 as always, with all of the sponsors that support us, please put out a message on Twitter saying thanks for supporting British Tech, because we really value the fact that you sponsor them. We really appreciate it. So check it out. I'm wearing my Apple shirt, by the way. The kids bought me this. It says, I'm not always like grumpy. That. Sometimes I'm sleeping. Right, come on then, fellas. Quick fire. Three things that Apple are definitely going to provide us with this year. And don't play it safe. Come on.
Do you want what we want?
Don't say.
There's what I want from Apple in 2017, and then there's what they're actually going to do, which is actually pretty boring.
I want you to the predictions. These are predictions we'll hold you to later on.
Okay. All right. Realistic.
10-inch iPad, updated MacBook Pros with the new Intel processors, and iPhone with OLED screen and wireless charging.
So the Mac Pro's not getting upgraded this year again, then. Fair enough. Mm. Go on, Doc.
Guarantee iOS 11. Guarantee iPhone 7 or 8, but my out there really want is probably iPad Pro 2 in both sizes, and a resurgence in the mini, like in a mini 5 or something of that nature,
Mac
that
mini.
Has pro qualities.
Oh, that's bold and brave.
A resurgence in the iPad mini.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, is he saying iPad mini or Mac mini?
No, iPad mini.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. Good show. Patrice?
I'm going to say a 4K Apple TV.
What? That's your banker, is it? That's your go-to, definite.
Wow.
Yeah,
dude watches a lot of TV. Yes.
This is where he's starting. I can't wait to hear the rest.
You and Victor Caniel.
I'm going to say a new Series 3 Apple Watch with new sensors. And the safe bet is probably iMacs and Mac Pro updated to the latest generation Intel processors.
So you say the Apple TV, you mean the box, not a TV?
The box.
We're not going back to that Apple from TV 4 years ago.
I thought he was saying not
the TV.
A 4K TV. God.
They're going to have to do that. They're going to have to add that this year if they want to stay compelling. What?
They haven't done a 480 TV.
Well, every time I'm on this show, we talk about a TV.
Because you started it. You were the one that started the rumor because of your contact.
Yeah. Well, hey, I think there was a TV.
There was a TV. Sure there was. Yeah. Go on then, Carl. What are your three?
I'm going to say the home button, the actual what looks like the round button, at least on the newer phones, will be completely gone. It will be replaced with something that's more like the touchpad, something like that,
okay.
Or act like that. I think they could get into video streaming this year for some reason. I don't know why, but something's telling me that. And I think if they have a really bad year, Tim Cook will be out as CEO. And I honestly think Tim Cook will be out as CEO.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
nah, that's a bold one. Happening. And I appreciate the moxie.
I think I appreciate that. I don't think it's going to happen, but I think it's. Yeah. I think it should happen. I'm sorry, Tim. You're not as good as you think you are. Well done. There's an interesting. We'll hold you to those, and at the end of the year, we'll see who's got theirs right.
What about you?
What about me?
I'm going to turn it on you now.
I'm going to go with the 4K Apple TV, but not a TV. The box.
Right.
I think that's a banker. I think that's a real banker. I'm going to say Mac Pro update because you can't go another year without updating the Mac Pro.
Yeah.
It's been 4 years.
That would be like two fingers up to the pros, wouldn't it? It's just like, you know, you've pissed us off for the last 2 years. Don't do it for a third year running. That's like Tim does the announcement at WWDC, and it's just him and one bloke at the front who hasn't left since last year.
If that happens, are we talking canceling the Mac show?
No.
Are you going to resign in protest?
No, we'll call it something else maybe, but we'll still come here and shoot the shit. And Doc buying everything that Apple released. There you go. There's my third prediction. And then
that's a safe bet.
And then defending it regardless, even if it's shit on this show afterwards.
No,
he's going to do it. Now he's going to defend that.
No, the one thing that Disney some products said, this year. But...
Don't worry. I get mad at them when they do stupid shit.
Okay.
Yes, if there was something crazy, I would wish for it would be the next whatever macOS is, macOS 11. But I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Okay.
The one thing that needs to be said, and I'm even really surprised that I'm saying this, because when they were announced, I was not that excited. But now that I have these AirPods, this is what we need more of in 2017, this kind of magic. This is the product focus that I'm talking about. I've been blown away by these things.
Good.
They have exceeded expectations for me all the way around. And maybe that's because my expectations weren't that high, but I don't think that's the case.
That's always the case.
Adam, to your point, you have those truly magical moments with them. Like just the simple thing of taking it out and having the music pause and put that back in, it sounds so benign. But when you're actually doing it, it's like that's the kind of product focus and magic that I really hope in 2017 that Apple continues to like keep focused on. And I think that's what they've lost, is focusing on those kinds of things and not worrying about what consumers are looking for or what the market is looking for. And that was the magic of, you know, quote unquote, that old Apple under Steve, is that he didn't care. It was all about the product. And if they can do more of that focus, it will be a good year. And if they don't, we're going to be having a very different conversation at the end of the year, because I'm going to be a bit depressed.
Robster says, I love my AirPods. They don't fall out. I even sleep with them in. What he hasn't told you is that he super glued them in.
They don't come out.
Time for the cool thing. Oh, shit, I nearly fell off with them. Time for the cool thing. Adam, start us off.
All right, I'm going to do this because this is another thing where I like really doubted this app, and when I first saw it come out, there is an app out in the App Store now called AirPod Finder, and it's for this scenario, which doesn't happen, by the way. So I don't know how useful it is, but it's fun anyway. If an AirPod were to fall out and you were to somehow lose it, or you set it down somewhere, not in the charging case, I don't know why you would do this, but you misplaced it, this works as a little like location finder for your AirPods. It's got this little sort of arced bar, and basically you fire up the app, it walks you through this little wizard. If you have one of the AirPods, you put it in the case. If you're missing both, you say both are missing, and then you sort of walk around, and as you get closer, the bar will get fill up, and when it's all the way full, you know you're basically right on top of that AirPod. And when I first tried it, I was confused by the UI, because it does have a couple of text messages that come up that say, oh, you're getting closer, or it's in this area. Those weren't really accurate, but if you follow the sort of bar, and I guess it's probably going on signal strength, you can get right in the right area. So the first time I tried it, I'm like, this doesn't really work. And then I thought, you know what, I'm going to give it another go. I'm going to hand one AirPod to each one of my kids, tell them to hide one in the house somewhere, and I'll go find it. And dang, if the thing didn't work. I mean, they had hidden them, one of my daughters hid it in a stocking that was still hanging up here in the house, because I'm lazy about putting taken the Christmas decorations down. But I mean, it was literally hidden inside there, and I figured out where it was and found it. So it's $4 US, $3.99 US, and you know, if you're not going to use it for finding AirPods, you can at least use it as a little game you can play.
And saves you about $100 if you do lose one.
Yeah, you know, again, my bigger problem is the only problem with this app is you still have to have the charging case. And my problem is the two times that I've misplaced my AirPods, I misplaced the whole package, you know, like the little dental floss thing. I you know, one time it fell down behind, you know, on the side of the seat because I had set it on the seat in the car. And when I got out, I forgot to grab them and I couldn't figure out where they were. So I lose the whole thing. I'm not losing just one AirPod. I think it would be somewhat hard to do, but. There you go. It's a cool little app. It's cool technology. So worth $4, I think, to have a play with.
Robster, even though he's a super glued in, he's already purchased that. So well done. Doc, what's your cool thing? Hello, Doc. Your AirPods are falling out, mate.
they came disconnected.
Huh?
What? Sorry. They're really good, those earphones, aren't they?
No, it wasn't the earphones. My computer just bleeped for a second. My AirPods are fine. Anyway, I told you something's really going on. I'm probably going to restart today. Okay. Can you guys still hear me?
Yeah, we got you fine.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Have you got a cool thing? It's obviously not going to be a MacBook Pro.
No, it's an iMac, by the way. Yeah, so I don't know if anyone's actually done it yet, but I'll be the first to do it. I really do want to recommend that you put yourself on a list and wait till February. It's only 3 to 6 weeks out. Get a pair of AirPods. Like, I was on the fence. I was at the point where I was mad because I couldn't get it when they said I could. I pouted in a corner. I was pissed. I was chasing them. And then I got to the point where, like everybody else, I'm like, yeah, I'm over it. I think I even texted you guys, and you guys are like, yeah, I'm kind of over it. Once you have it, they are absolutely amazing. They sound great. They're comfortable. Yes, I sleep in mine. It's incredible. Like, and the best part is not even just the sound or the comfort. It's as I go from my iMac to my MacBook Pro to my iPad to my iPhone, just the way that it switches interchangeably from device to device to device is also extremely smooth. And I'm actually very proud of this product for Apple for the first time in a minute.
Really? So you've been a bit down on this year, you reckon?
Yeah, no, because like everyone said, like a lot of the stuff has been, it's great, it's fun, it works, but it didn't have that je ne sais quoi. You know, like there's great strikers, and then there's Eric Cantona. You know what I mean? Or Zlatan Ibrahimovic. The rest of the guys are great. They score just as many goals, but they're missing that flair. There's no Messi in it. These are Apple's Messi. You know, they actually can be. And it's going to be a while because it's going to take the slow guys a chance to move in. It's going to take people to stop saying 150 is too much, even though most relatively first-level good earphones with cords are at 159. So it's going to take some of that to go away. But once it does, I think everybody, once they get a pair, you're going to have a hard time finding people who are mad other than just the irresponsible people who lose them. And that's the same if you had a cord. I've lost $300 corded earphones and it's whatever, you know, but I really do think they're great. And I can't wait till you get yours because I really want to hear your take because you're a little bit more cynical on these things than maybe I.
That's right. I haven't ordered any, which means I'm even more cynical than you think. So the thing is, my wife, I thought, oh, I'll buy some for the wife, right? That, she'll like them. She goes running. She loves doing that kind of stuff. She can't get the standard AirPods into her ears. She must have a really, really small opening, and she can't get them in at all. So I don't think...
That's great for marriage.
It's great. I can't buy her AirPods now, so
sorry.
Save me 150 quid, mate. Patrice, what's your cool thing?
My cool thing is an app I recently discovered. Some guy named Jerome actually made me aware of it. It's called Productive. And I think it takes the idea of what the rings on the Apple Watch are doing, but allows you to customize it and have custom things that you want to do over the day, over the course of the day. For example, remind you to take a walk or to, I don't know, once a week, I don't know, do your laundry or go to the gym or on a daily basis, check your posture or do crunches or all of those little things that we would like to do on a daily or a couple of days a week basis, but we constantly forget. It's reminding you to do it. It also shows you, okay, how long's your streak? Have you done it over the last couple of days, last a couple of times, all of that. So it's a really cool app, and as far as I remember, it was free, or I think the base version is free, and then there's an inner purchase to have more than, I think, 5 things you want to track and advanced schedules and all of that. But I've been using the base version, and it's pretty, pretty good.
Excellent. Thank you. Kyle, what's your cool thing?
Link it up, please.
You got what, sorry, mate?
I'm going to show it anyways. No, I say you probably already know what it is, but because we were talking about it beforehand. But yeah, since we're kind of on an Apple bashing kind of thing today, I thought I'd just, you know, just point this in right here. I'm a little late to the party. I was not going to upgrade to the new Apple TV. I wanted to cover the whole house and Chromecast. It's better than I expected. I've had a lot of people actually tweet me, say, could you actually use it with iOS? Yes, you can. The app supports it. So, like, Netflix works great on it. Of course, NBA, if you're an NBA fan, works great on it. Spotify, which I'm using. Of course, you can't use any Apple things, like if you're on Apple Music or that kind of thing, or iTunes content won't play through it. But I use Plex now for the home server, and it just works fantastic. I've not had a single problem with them. I've been using it now for a few days now, a couple of days.
You said you've done the whole house in every room for the same money.
Yeah, for less, because I got these on sale here for like 20 equivalent for like $20, so it costs $60 to do the whole house.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's perfect.
I've always wanted to try it, but my Amazon's been so good, and then the Echoes and the Fire Sticks and whatnot, but I want to try it. So since I found somebody that actually thinks they know what they're talking about, like them, I'll go buy one.
I have way too much content in iTunes. That's my own.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, if you're really tied to iTunes, I don't recommend it. And over Christmas, for some reason, I just got so damn annoyed with iTunes. It wouldn't play on the Apple TV, and I think that's what started this whole thing with me.
Totally get it. Yeah, so Plex is awesome.
I use Plex. Plex is the bombski.
Did it ruin your audio as well, mate? Michael,
what do you mean ruin my audio?
Your audio is broken up twice with that. You said when someone else said to me, and then we didn't hear what they said to you anyway, so...
Yeah, okay, well, never mind.
We'll dub it. What I'll do is I'll dub that in the show, and I'll put in there something that's really inappropriate.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. I have no control.
My cool thing is Tunnel Bear for the iPhone.
It's great.
Tunnel Bear's awesome. And the thing that's nice is the application's free, the service isn't, but if you've bought Tunnel Bear already for your Mac, then you just get the application for your iPhone, and that's it, it's included. So you can get your device up and running and use your tunnel. I think there's like 15 countries now, so it's ideal to get yourself tunneling around the world and getting your content from wherever you want. I've signed up for a Hulu account, and I can watch Hulu on there. I've got a Netflix US account, and I can watch that on there as well. It's brilliant. Absolutely love it to pieces. Stick it on your iPad, stick it on your iPhone, stick it on your desktop. It's everywhere. Cool. Good lunch of cool things. And I actually got one because normally I'm crap. Where can we get a hold of you, Adam?
You can find me over at maccast.com, maccast on Twitter, and just about every place else on social media. And almost weekly on the iOS show at theiosshow.com. Problem is Michael Johnson, one of the hosts, he's a student now. He's back in school. So
no, we
aren't quite every week, but almost every week. So you can check that out too.
Cool. Where are you, Doc?
First of all, I'd like to send a big happy birthday shout out to my old two-aw buddy, Dave Kolo, or Kaolo, however you want to pronounce it. I say Kalo. Anyway, CeeLo, happy birthday. And this guy is great. If you like to follow a guy who's into productivity and writing and drumming and all that kind of crazy stuff. He's a good person to follow. So anyway, happy birthday, Dave. You can find me all over the internet under Doc Rock, D-O-C-R-O-C-K. And hopefully working on season two of the Offshore podcast, Untold Stories of Hawaii from Hawaii.
Okay. Patrice, where are you, mate?
As always, every week here on the Mech Show and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Cheers, mate. And Kyle?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Fridays, the BT and News Show. At Kyle Swagger on Twitter. And if you ever pop into the Philippines and love your basketball TV, you'll hear me annoying you 24 hours a day on there.
Oh, nice. Does everyone know you in the Philippines, or are you just this anonymous voice that people?
Oh no, I'm just this anonymous voice. You know, I can easily go and shop, and that's the way I like it.
Have you not had anyone come up to you and go, "Your voice sounds just like that bloke"?
No, I have. I have actually. That has happened to me. Yeah, I was in the supermarket one time, yeah, and I was talking to my wife or something. So, you sound like the guy on BTV. Is oh yes, because that's me.
Oh, cool. Did you get cheers a selfie with
yeah
him?
Yeah, it's happened one. No selfie.
No.
I don't think they spoke, English very well.
Facebooked it.
I had it in Costa in Victoria Station, and the guy in front turned around and went, "I know that voice." Blimey, hello, mate. Cool. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again next week. The next few weeks, the live shows are all over the shop because I've got work kicking in and annoying things. So next week, the live show is on Wednesday. If you want to come, it might not happen at all because I've moved it so far. People may not come for the show, but the live show is next Wednesday. If you want to come on the 11th.
That's this one?
The 11th. Wednesday next the 11th. Week. Next week.
Okay. I'll be there.
You'll be there. Okay, cool. I'll send invites out. And then we're back to Fridays for the 20th, and then we go to Thursday on the 26th. So I have done the calendar. I am shit at organisation, but I'm good at doing the calendar for some reason. I don't know why that works, but I'm good at doing the calendar. So look at the calendar. Go to britishtechnetwork.com/live and scroll to the bottom, and there's calendars there. You can put our calendar in your phone so it can give you notifications when the show's on and all that kind of stuff. It's cool. Set it up. It's been like that for years. Righto. See you next week. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter, and we'll talk about more Apple. I hope they do something between now. We've only got 4 days. 5 days. Do something. Please, Apple, do something.
Come on. How about a Mac Pro upgrade?
In 4 days.
Yeah, no, it's not going to happen.